independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Wednesday at 2. It's the stories we want to get to in case we missed it.
What's in the news today?
With so many stories.
Dozens of stories.
We're bound to miss a few.
I'm sorry, did I miss something?
It's in case we missed it with the Killer Bees.
And here's the stuff you missed.
This is one that Blankers just can't get enough of. The Little League World Series. 12-year-olds playing baseball. Blankers absolutely loves it. And Pearland off to Williamsport.
Yeah.
They're off to Yankee Stadium to play in the Little League World Series.
It's awesome. And I don't understand why you just have this communist approach to Little
communist.
League baseball with as much as you love college baseball and other random baseball games. This is America's pastime played in its purest form. You've got these young kids, you know, with great sportsmanship. We saw it in the Pearland game yesterday after the kid got hit in the face. It's fantastic. We got a local team that is going to represent, and it is extremely fun to watch.
Yeah, I didn't expect to be called a commie today.
Well, you know,
on the program.
If the shoe fits and you don't want to watch it, then wear it.
Washington football team, the commies, the Commanders. Now, we want them to win. I'm rooting for them to win. I'm not sure I'm going to turn on the game and watch. How long do they take? 2 hours? Are they on time limits?
So now
they can't lead off. Do they have a certain amount of time they can play?
It's 6-inning game.
Six, but is it time?
No,
it's not a 2-hour time limit.
Not in the playoffs like this.
Yeah, there's no time
Everybody
limit.
Everybody gets
can't
their
lead
at
off.
Bats. Now, here's the weird thing. They're supposedly leaving for Williamsport on Friday.
You going to go to the parade, send them off?
No.
Their
first game isn't until next Thursday.
They're going to miss a lot of school.
That's what they said. They said of all the great things, it's a bonus for going to Williamsport. The greatest thing is they don't have to go to start school.
This was that's great for them. I'm glad they're going to miss school. I do.
You are such a raining dark
cloud.
I'm not.
I want them to win. I'm just not going to watch every pitch of the Pearland Little League. I want them to win, but I'm not going to sit there and watch every game or every pitch. Now, something that happened during our show yesterday, that the Tulsa kid, right? They're playing Tulsa. He got domed. He got hit right in the ear flap.
You guys didn't even pay attention or give me the time of day, which is normal.
Well, you have the
talking
TV
about
view.
Stupid things while I was saying, oh, God, I hope that kid
stupid
gets up.
Things.
Oh, God, that kid got hit in the face.
It was a 32-mile-per-hour fastball.
Did you see the size of the kid that threw it?
He threw a circle
He's
change.
One of those guys that you said drove himself to the game. He's a big kid for Pearland.
Yeah.
And he hit the kid from Oklahoma accidentally in the face. And
was
you can
it,
tell
though? Or was he trying to send a message?
Well, he's on the mound crying. So he is extremely distraught by what happened.
Yeah, it's assault.
And the kid that got hit in the face walks to first base and then realizes that he's crying and goes, it calls time and walks over and gives the kid a hug on the mound and basically tells him it's all right. And it's obviously gone viral and everybody's talking. The kids were on the Today Show this morning.
It was cool.
It was neat moment.
Yeah, that kid, Brendan said they're going to put him in jail. The interesting there is that he's too old for juvie. He's going straight to prison.
I was going to say, once he had his driver's license and his Social Security card on him and drove himself to the game, things changed.
No. By the way, there's no worse take in sports than the one going around right now that you don't want the 12-year-old kid to go comfort the other 12-year-old kid.
Exactly.
Worst narrative in sports.
You think that's a bad take?
Horrible take.
Take that belongs on a certain boulevard?
Perhaps? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean, they're 12-year-old kids. Sportsmanship matters more than who wins, in my opinion.
I mean, at this point in their lives, you're setting them up with life experiences more than anything else. I get it when they're, like, competitive, trying to win a state championship, or they're, like, borderline adults for real and trying to do things. But at 12 years old, to see a kid that did that, and good for the dad for being proud of him, too, because that's the spirit of the commercials and everything that they run that you don't see about be this coach, not that coach. Don't bust their – give them an earful and bust their rear ends because they lost. Commend them for giving every effort they could to try and win.
Yeah, exactly. 6602 saying that Branham's ticked off because he never made the All-Star team. Dennis the Menace looking like dude. Hey, I hit 400 in my senior year of baseball. I was 2-for-5 that season.
They came at you high and tight.
I was a 400 hitter.
You want me to go?
I was actually an All-Star my entire life. I was a 400 hitter my senior year.
An All-Star
five
in what?
Bets.
Beach club?
I was always an All-Star in baseball.
Okay.
I was a solid little baseball player.
Right.
Solid little baseball player. Couldn't get off the bench for my high school team. Just saying. Anyways,
coach.
How about
like Michael Jordan. When you get in the Hall of Fame, you remember that coach.
I was sitting behind Cole Beasley's cousin. I deserve to be on the bench. There's no ill will there. Mic'd up interviews. We saw this with Trey Mancini last week, actually. Juan Soto was doing it as well. How do you feel about the mic'd up interviews during the middle of a real regular season game?
So as a fan, I love them. And I love when they're mic'd up and you're getting the gnat sounds and the conversations with referees, coaches, and players. Where I saw a massive debate on Twitter, which I can understand, is when you're getting interviewed while you're playing, are you truly focused on the game? And the fact that when Juan Soto was mic'd up Sunday night, he went into the gap and made a hell of a catch. And he said, there, now they won't be mad at me, almost as if to say my manager had a kind of an issue with whether I should be doing this or not. But because I made a play and made the right play, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I think that's where they're – it's in an all-star game where it doesn't mean anything. It's one thing, and it was awesome. It made the all-star game worth watching with all the different ways they mic'd up players. It's one thing to just use the mic and then use the sound clips. But when you're actually having a conversation which could affect a game that matters, I can also understand the fact that it might be going too far.
Yeah, look, I get the entertainment value of wanting to bring entertainment to Major League Baseball. Everybody should be looking for entertainment. I don't think the Q&A with, like, fielders, the defense, is really all that entertaining. Like, how about
I like it. I really do.
Do the Q&A with the guy in the dugout. Like, whenever he's seventh up in the inning.
Well, they're doing that, too.
You can, because you can interview. Well, those are the dudes that aren't playing.
No. They did one with the Suzuki from the Cubs. It started in the dugout, and then they wanted to continue it when he was in the field. They've done it with Lindor did, and in the dugout as well.
I don't need to have a Q&A while the dude's playing right field or first base. If you want to Q&A a player during the middle of a game, that's fine. Do it when he's seventh up in the inning. Like when Trey Mancini just made the last out of the previous inning.
It can affect the game.
Yeah. I don't know if I would go that far, but it's not worth the risk of affecting the game.
I actually understand they're looking for something that's a niche thing that people are going to tune in for Sunday Night Baseball and pump ratings a little bit by, hey, you know, mic'd up. I want to see who they're mic'ing up tonight. And they've made a big deal of that. But I think that you're right. It depends on the timing of where you're doing the interview. If you're doing it on the field when it could actually affect a ball in play, I think it's at some point it's going to bite them in the butt.
I'd rather have just a dude mic'd up than a Q&A. Like, give me the sounds of the game. Like, inside, you know, the sound on TNT during the game. They have a player mic'd up, and they pull the best thing of what he's saying. Give me that. I'd rather have that than just some standard weird Q&A that, oh, hey, how you liking Houston? Hey, Soto, how is San Diego treating you? That stuff's boring. Give me sounds of games where dude are, like, yelling at each other and getting mad that they just got plunked. Give me that.
Well, he had a couple of sound bites that were worthy. Everybody was also keen on the fact that he was talking to the home run ball, stay in, stay in, stay in.
But see, that's sounds of the game. That's not Q&A.
That's just the sound of the game. You know, he was talking about from the medallion on his chain and where it came from and that kind of stuff. But they had a couple of decent questions. But look, I think when a manager can harp, you know, a Buck Showalter's the type of guy that would go nuts over something like that, the old school guys, that I can understand where managers have a problem with it. And at a certain point, if there's a guy that botches the ball, Or screws up while he's been mic'd up, I think he'll put an end to it real quick.
Who was the dude? I think it was a Packer that he was mic'd up during a game and he dove on the mic funny and like punctured a lung. Was it not a Packer?
No, I don't think so.
713-780-ESPN. The name's escaping me, but that happened to somebody. 713-780-3776. Today at Texans training camp, where professional football players are looking good playing football, the owner of the Houston Texan, Cal McNair, is cooking some burgers for the fans and the media.
I've got two burgers on one with pickles and onion, told the mayo who ordered those, because we need to make this quick. It's grab and go. Let's go.
I love this.
Look,
I love this.
As
I wish
talked
I was
about
there
earlier, I think for a guy that somewhat deservedly in a lot of ways has taken a beating, I give him credit for trying to change the narrative. He was out there early in training camp just trying to meet and greet with the fans who thought that he was a creepy Halloween candy giver.
It was weird.
And step back. But when you start giving out free food, you change the narrative even more, because now people realize you're actually giving them something, you're filling their bellies, and you're showing you care. Good for him for trying.
I think Cool Cat Cow is cool. You know how I feel about Cool Cat Cow. If the dude's going to like make me lunch, which I love cheeseburgers. You don't get a body like this not liking cheeseburgers. He golfs all the time. He plays video games all the time. He drives a cool car. I want to be Cal McNair.
How do you know what he drives?
I've seen him at a training camp driving up to the training
camp. How do you know that he golfs all the time?
Because he gives speeches at River Oaks.
That doesn't mean he golfs all the time.
I've heard he golfs all the time.
Okay.
I've heard he golfs all the time.
Hey, that lefty's place went out of business, but if this burger thing takes off, I think that we could get a Texans bus and I could do this all over.
What is not to like about Cal McNair? Cool Cat Cal, man. What a guy.
We don't have enough time in this segment for me to answer that, so we'll just leave it there.
From Cool Cat Cal, what a guy. Greatest guy in the world. to a sleazeball, to a dirty pervert. No, not Deshaun Watson. Vince McMahon paying $20 million, I guess, over his lifetime, I guess, over the last, I don't even know how long. All the women that he slept with to shut them up, to hush money to all of these mistresses. $20 million.
Add
that's expensive.
Him to Jerry Jones, to all the stories that keep surfacing.
That's expensive.
Well, but if you're Vince McMahon and you're making WWE money, I think it's a drop in the bucket.
So it's worth it?
I didn't say it's worth it. I think that it's a drop in the bucket. I think that's why these guys do it. I mean,
and it's a publicly traded company.
To a lesser degree, though, you know, he's the man that runs the whole show, though. And that's why he stepped back, really, so he could turn it over to his relatives and make the decisions anyway. It's Vince's version of having an illness, having a temporary illness. He stepped back, but he put it in the hands of his daughter and her husband so that he can still make every call.
Uncle Barney just texted me and said, it's only about $100 each. It's a good point. It's a good point. That's a lot of money to pay out, though, man. It's a lot of money.
If you got it, your Uncle Barney's probably right. To him, it's really not all that much.
He's got what's his wife's name? I forget. But she was running for, like, political office. I think she might have won, actually.
But his daughter's, Stephanie McMahon, is the one running everything now.
Yeah, she's, like, co-CEO.
And she's married to an ex-wrestler who's helping.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley. What's your favorite Hunter Hearst Helmsley moment?
The fact that he's going to be doing color analyst on the field tonight with the Astros.
No.
Oh, that's a different Hensley. Never mind.
Not Hunter. That's
Clay.
Hunter Hearst is Helmsley. This
is Helmsley.
Clay Hensley.
Oh, well, then I don't
totally
know.
Totally different. How could you miss that?
I don't know.
Those are the stories that we wanted to get to, and in case we missed it. All right, Trey Mancini. He was not in the lineup yesterday. Haven't seen the lineups today. I think he'll be in the lineup, but I don't think he's going to play left field.
You know what that reminds me, by the way?
What's that?
We're big at watching the Game Show Network, and last night on America
Says...
Hold on.
Not me. You and the missus.
Me and the missus.
Don't lump me into that boring stuff.
And Lisa and I were laughing, because the family had a chance to clinch the game, and the answer was Sean Connery. And she goes, we know what the answer is, Michael. It's Sean Connolly. And he went, Sean Connolly.
What game?
America Says.
Okay.
Great game show.
Family Feud's my go-to. Family Feud's the best game show.
We used to be Family Feud first. Try America Says. You'll like it.
On Game Show Network?
Yep, 233 on the DirecTV.
713-780-3776. What's the best game show in the world? 713-780-ESPN.
Wheel.
Play the man. Trey Mancini. Play the man. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Our text message line, our HRP listener line, just lit up with game shows.
Uh-huh.
Lit up.
Uh-huh.
Price is Right.
No, not anymore.
I like Wheel of Fortune more than Price is Right.
Oh, for sure.
How do you like Wheel of Fortune? But not Wordle.
Because I grew up in a house where my mom was watching game shows all the time. She was really good at them. But Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, those were the two go-tos. But, like, the Wordle thing to me, it was time. Everybody was doing it, and everyone was time-consuming. And then it was, like, the whole guess factor as part of it. I was like, that's just, I'm out.
I quit. It became a chore. I'm not going to lie.
It was too much. And then everybody was tweeting it and Facebooking it. And, hey, I got this one. And yeah. Who cares?
People still do it. People still Wordle. My wife does it with
I see T-shirts with it now, too, with the Wordle.
Really?
It's weird.
That's cool. I like T-shirts. Somebody said Press Your Luck. That's the whammy one, right? No whammy, no whammy, no whammy, no. That show's actually, like, that show I think has a really good catchphrase. No whammy, no whammy, no whammy, no. But the actual structure of the game I think sucks.
Not good. No whammies and stop.
Okay.
I'm just telling you how it goes.
I'm here to take your money.
Yeah, like that character's awesome. But the actual show, like from a game perspective, I don't think it's great.
Adrian, I agree. It's not much of a challenge with the kinds of questions and stuff.
Adrian,
okay.
It says America Says is great. Awesome. Putting on the background always comes through clutch at the perfect time. How does a game show come off clutch? Like it just entertains you?
Well, the other thing I like about Game Show Network is it's not just 30 minutes, then you got to wait till tomorrow. You can marathon it if you want and get about four or five episodes in a row where if there's nothing else going on, at least you're challenging yourself with trying to answer questions.
Yeah. Yeah. I like a good game show from time to time, but give me the old Family Feud.
Family Feud's a good one.
Pedro Martinez on Family Feud. What rhymes with tummy?
Yeah.
Miami? That's one of the best YouTubes that exists. Google it.
If you just, the outtakes of some of the family feuds that are out there on social media are fantastic.
Yeah. Google the Pedro Martinez or YouTube it. Pedro Martinez Family Feud Miami. It'll be worth your time. Trey Mancini, you've coined the hashtag off of the, it's kind of a play on words of the Correa hashtag pay the man. Yep. You're saying hashtag play the man. Trey Mancini has played in the Astros have played seven games since Trey Mancini was eligible to play, since he was on the roster. He has started four of those seven games. What are your thoughts on trading for Trey Mancini? He's your piece. He's your bat, kind of like Christian Vasquez too, but he's starting four of the seven games to this point.
It bothers me, and I think the only reason why it's not a bigger story is because it doesn't bother him. The same way I think that we talked about the fact that Vasquez is bothered by the fact that he's not the everyday starting catcher, and if he's not completely bothered by it, at a certain point he probably will be. Mancini's just too much of a team guy that has already said, I'm just happy to be here, and I'm going to help the team. It's a Bull Durham speech, you know, however I can help the team win. Mm-hmm. But I think that it would be one thing if you're Vasquez and you're trying to uproot the guy that's been there and is doing a good job, doing what he's doing in terms of managing the pitching staff defensively, and like we said, offensively it's picked up in Machete. But when you look at it from Mancini's perspective, he's not trying to uproot someone that has been there, done that. He's trying to help you right now because your left fielder is out and you don't know when he's coming back.
Well, could say he's trying to uproot Yuli.
No, because that's what I'm saying. I'm getting to the fact that what I've been harping on the whole time is his versatility. There's three different spots you could play him in. So that means you have three different options where you could play him and rotate him and move him around. So if you're giving a guy a rest like Yordan, that's fine. If you're trying to get him reps in left field so you can see if he can replace Brantley, that's better. If Yuli is not either hitting or he needs a day off or two, you play him there too. But because you have three different positions to choose from, and maybe more if you want to give Tucker a day off too.
Or maybe they don't. Because the Astros are telling you that he hasn't played outfield. The Astros are telling you currently, based on how they've used Mancini, that he's not an outfielder.
But yet you said he was out there taking reps in left field yesterday.
Some fungo,
so
yeah.
They realize what they have, no matter how much they want the media to see it from a certain perspective. They know that at the end of the day, especially with what they are potentially facing with Brantley, that it's in their best interest to get him reps or put him out there and let him live and learn on the job. But he's got to play some outfield. He just has to for this team to have the potential to have insurance policies where they need it.
Look, that's to me the reason that you should be using him. And like I mocked the whole, well, Cleveland's got a big outfield. Dude, it's 320 down the left field line and 370 to the power alleys in left center. If he can't play left field there, he can't play left field anywhere. And I know center field's big and it changes your alignment, blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't think he's going to play left field tonight with Verlander. Verlander's a fly ball pitcher. You're going to put a bad outfielder that you're telling me this in left field with Verlander on the mound? I don't think so. I think you either see Yordan in left field today, Mancini DH, or Mancini might just play first base.
Well, that's right. But now you're getting to my point. It doesn't matter where he plays in the lineup. There should be a spot daily for Trey Mancini. You have holes to fill. You have options to rest. You have guys that are underperforming again a little bit offensively. So you know you have more reasons than you need to play this guy at a multitude of different positions, but make sure he's in the lineup. Okay. He's too good of a player to be sitting down.
His bat needs to be in the lineup. His bat plays. He started four of seven games so far for the Astros. I can live with five of seven. Four of seven, not enough.
Here's the other thing. Exactly what we told you why you should be having him high on your list to get him in the first place. He already made sure that that was a reality. The fact that he hit a home run in Minute Maid Park that would have been a home run in every other park but Baltimore, and the fact that he hit three home runs in the first three times that you put him out there or whatever, his first start and the three home runs were his first three hits as an Astro, you're like, he's done everything he can do to show you why he should be in the lineup. Now it's on your shoulders to do what you're supposed to do, find a place for him.
He's got three homers as an Astro. Hmm? You know how many homers Yuli Gurriel has as an Astro in 2022?
Is it
seven? Seven.
Wow, that was higher than I thought.
Yeah, actually, I thought it was going to be like a five or six. One, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a little bit. He hadn't hit one since, I think, July 1st, something like that, though. Yuli, as hot as he has been in July and even a little bit of June, his last four games, he's 1-for-16.
That's not so good. That's not so good. If that continues, I don't think they have any choice. I mean, again, as much as we mock Dusty's going to Dusty, at a certain point, the numbers just speak too clearly to you where you've got to try something else. Look, I know it's different with Peña because of what he brings to the table defensively and because of the fact that he's a rookie and he's young.
Yuli defenders would say Yuli brings that same thing defensively.
Okay. Well, at a certain point, Yuli's 39. And Peña, there's the full belief he's going to get it back. There's always the question of Yuli if he is or not. But at a certain point, when you're trying to win a World Series, you're putting your best team out there.
Yuli plays first, too, which,
does
I mean,
he? Oh, yeah.
is not a premium defensive position. Like, look, Yuli great at picks, and AT&T showed the stat yesterday, one of the best in all of baseball in picks. He's better than Trey Mancini picking the ball in the dirt. But do you want a defensive first baseman or do you want an offensive first baseman? Give me the offense. Use Yuli in the late innings. It's an eighth, ninth inning guy, defensive sub whenever you have a lead. One of the other interesting wrinkles now that suddenly has like entered the chat as a bit of a look, it's a good problem to have is the Aledmys Diaz factor.
Oh yeah,
because now Aledmys Diaz is also forcing his hand of put me in the lineup. He's going to play left.
We
field.
Talked about it before it came even as pressing as what happened last night, right? We had already talked about he's been hot. He's hitting wherever you put him. Should he be in the lineup? And we had the discussion about what people on Twitter have been kicking around, and even on our Twitch, people were adamant in saying that he should be starting at shortstop over Jeremy Peña. But with a bat as hot as his bat is, there's an argument to be had. He should be in the lineup every day too somewhere.
You see, it's tough because if Aledmys Diaz is playing every day, if Trey Mancini's playing every day, which Dusty's not going to play either one of them every day, now we're talking about like what's your optimal lineup for the playoffs. Yuli Gurriel might not be in it. Like you have to have the hard conversation of either A, it's Trey Mancini or Yuli Gurriel. Or B, it's Aledmys Diaz or Yuli Gurriel. And you can configure it in off days, regular season, things like that. But if you're going out, let's just say game one ALDS tomorrow, what nine you're throwing out there? I don't know what factors like who's throwing for the other team, what park you're playing in. But your best nine, to me, it doesn't include Yuli Gurriel right now.
See, that's the thing. For those that are honking the horn over and raising a flag for Yuli to be in the lineup every day, you know, you have to ask yourself a question at a certain point. Like, are you trying to get the gold star for being the best team you can be in terms of remembering your heroes of the past? Or are you trying to win a World Series and put the best lineup you can out there every single day? Because it's a tough decision, but that's what they're paid to do. Make the tough decisions and realize if Mancini gives you a better chance at first base, play him there. If you know, until Brantley gets back, if you decide that that's where Diaz has to be, then you play him there. But if you find spots in your lineup for your guys that are red hot, those guys are hitting the baseball.
713-780-ESPN. How are you finding a spot for Trey Mancini? How are you finding a spot for Aledmys Diaz? 713-780-3776. Also, let's take that big picture look. ESPN Plus did this. Yankees, Astros, post deadline, how they use those pieces and who situated themselves better for postseason success. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We asked you the question. You look at Trey Mancini, hashtag play the man. Christian Vasquez, the two trade acquisitions offensively for this team. And neither one starting a huge majority of the games. Mancini started 4 of the 7 the Astros have played since. I think Vasquez has started 3 of the 7. 713-780-ESPN. How do you get Trey in the lineup? How do you get Aledmys in the lineup? 713-780-3776. 6955. At what point does the front office step in and dictate that Mancini plays?
See, it's like we talked about. There is an undercurrent, whether the diehard orange Kool-Aid drinkers want to admit it or not, or the dusty flag bearers are willing to admit that there's been issues between the front office and Dusty in the past. You'd hate to think that it would come to that, but you'd also think that smarter, cooler heads could prevail somewhere in the process, not even starting, but not limited to, but Jim Crane should have a say-so too, going at a certain point as the owner of the team. We were talking about owners previously, but you can understand based on how successful they've been, based on how they could help you with the certain problems you're dealing with Brantley and others, that you got to understand it's not about who's right, who's wrong, and going his way or my way. It's about putting the best possible team to win big-time baseball games out there on a daily basis.
Astro lineup is out.
Oh, boy.
Guess who's not in the lineup?
Trey Mancini
not starting for the Houston Astros today. Oh. I told you he wasn't going to play left field today.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't mean he shouldn't be out of the lineup.
He's not going to play left field with Verlander on the mound because, look, the Astros want to put a good defense behind Justin Verlander. Verlander is a fly ball pitcher. No, Ledmus Diaz is also not in the lineup
today.
The
Astros traded for two backups and a relief pitcher.
Oh, my God.
Let's
rest the hot guy who hit the grand slam last night, who's been absolutely torridly on fire. Yeah, you know what? You've deserved a sit on the bench. Sit down. Thank you, sir.
Guess who's starting in center field ahead of Chaz McCormick again?
Oh, Jake.
It's actually not Jake.
No, it's
Which
Dubon.
Is even worse, in my opinion.
It is Maurice.
It's even worse, in my opinion. I can understand Jake Meyer starting in center field over Chaz McCormick in August. Because, okay, he's your best potential center fielder. You think that he is the best guy out there. You're trying to get him right for the playoffs. I can understand that logic. Give him till September, see if he can figure it out. I do not understand Mauricio Dubon playing center field, Chaz playing left.
Mauricio Dubon.
Not having Mancini and Ledmus Diaz in the lineup.
What? And now we're going to hear nothing but Joe Espada go, yeah, Dusty texted me the lineup early. He better not put that on his tab because he does not deserve that smoke.
No,
because Joe should be deflecting, and telling everybody who did it because it doesn't make sense. But the only way that we can at least partially accept it is knowing Dusty's going to Dusty because it's ridiculous. Again, whether it's the hot guy, that's the other thing that always drives me nuts. The hottest guy that's finding it or doing it and continuing to do it is the guy you go, yeah, because you've been so good, sit down. Stupid.
Trey Mancini not in the lineup today. Ledmus Diaz not in the lineup today. They're getting their best defense behind Verlander, even though Dubon in center field. I like Dubon. I like the position flexibility. Myers is a better defensive outfielder than them. So if you really wanted your best defensive outfield out there, you should probably play Jake instead of Dubon. Let's keep in mind that yesterday Joe Espada said that Dusty Baker is still making the lineup. Also, yeah. James Click saying over on the cardiac arrest that Dusty Baker is still making the lineup, even
That's
though he's not with the team.
They know it's dumb too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't want any culpability.
Don't put that on
Astros
my tab.
Batting order.
That's on Dusty.
713-780-ESP. I love this live reaction of hashtag sit Mancini, hashtag sit Diaz.
Another not Trey day.
Yeah, let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Rolando, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's up, Rolando?
What's up, guys? I'm a little ticked off right now. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I'm about frustrated. I'm done with Dusty.
Telling you.
He's got to go. He's got to go. I'm just done with it. We could have been at least probably five games over the Yankees now. I don't care. We're first place, whatever. I don't care. But it's August already. September's coming around. October's coming around. We need Vasquez. He's clearly better than Maldi. I love him. He's awesome. Yuli, I love you. You're awesome. But Mancini and Vasquez need to be starting right now. They need to be playing more shit. I'm sorry. I'm ticked off right now, guys. I'm a big
breathe,
fan.
Rolando. Breathe.
I love the passion, Rolando. Rolando, I think you're right. If Dusty wasn't making out these lineups, I think the Astros would be 22 games ahead of the Yankees. I think they would be 91-20 if it wasn't for Dusty Baker.
Hmm. Yeah, for sure. But like baseball is one of the most groove. Like you got to be in your groove. If you take a week off, 2 weeks off, even a few days. Like I played baseball my whole life. I didn't play it like my 3 years in middle school. High school, I was garbage.
I was a stud. So I hit 400 my senior year. I was 2 for 5.
Good for you, man. I'm glad. I suck. But yeah, like I said, this is just frustrating. And man, Jordan, Jordan needs to take a break. That's one guy I need to take a break.
Okay, Rolando. Now you're losing us.
We love the
Jordan
passion.
Jordan does not need to take a break.
We understand the passion. We love the passion. You lost me at Jordan. Look, Jordan's not – the average is under 300. I understand that the numbers say that he's dipping. Jordan's still hitting the ball hard.
Yes.
Jordan's
Jordan
at bats
can play
are
DH.
Still a factor.
Jordan does not need to take a break.
Jordan's still a factor, obviously.
Like, he's been a big factor why you are where you are, sitting where you're sitting, regardless of Dusty Baker.
Can I tell you one thing I would do with Jordan, though?
Please.
I'd move him up a spot. I'd move him. Like, I don't hate the idea of him leading off, if I'm being completely honest.
You know why Dusty won't do it? Because it's analytical.
Because it's Dusty.
Well, it's also analytical.
And James Click might have said, hey, how about moving up the order on second? No, I'm not going to do that out of spite.
That's when the toothpick gets stuck in the roof of his mouth. And then he gets kind of like a temporary jack where his jaw can't move. And it's just, it stops all movement. Yeah, no, he's not going to accept that because it's an analytical move. Because he knows that across the league, from Aaron Judge to Schwarber to all these big guys that are big hitters, they're batting first and second. Dusty ain't doing that.
I would love Jordan in the two-hole behind Altuve. Just move everybody up a spot. Move everybody up a spot. You go Altuve, Jordan,
Yuli,
Bregman.
Catches a little break again, Dr. Dre. And as good as you, that little short-term run you were on with Yuli in the two-hole, he's better suited to be down 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, just give me a little bit of Jordan in the two-hole, like Judge in the two-hole. You know Judge leads the league in RBIs in the American League, right? Out of the two-hole, some days leading off. Some days leading off, said, yeah. Just saying. 2043, get Joel a drink before he blows a gasket. We'll give him some gentle bends. Don't you worry about that.
Certain things you guys already know get under my skin and bother the crap out of me. And the fact that stuff like that, where you, anybody with a clear-thinking baseball mind knows, if you're even a casual observer, you know these guys should be in the lineup. You know they give you the best chance to win. They're better options than what you're throwing out there. But no, you go with Bon. Mauricio Dubon. Stop.
See, I like Dubon as a player, but I like him as a utility guy.
I think he's a great player on the Sugarland Space Cowboys.
The fact that Dubon has more starts in center field than Chaz McCormick since Jake got back, to me, is there's something there. I'm telling you. There's something there.
It's a personal bias is what's there.
Either it's a personal bias against Chaz, which Chandler Rome has said that Dusty doesn't like Chaz, or it's a little shot at the front office. Look, I'm not reporting. I'm just giving you my takes from a take artist.
Who's running the show, too? Because you have to constantly ask the question.
It's Dusty's lineup. It's Dusty's lineup.
And that's why at a certain point, Click's going to say, you know what? You hired me after you hired him. I'm the GM. If you want me to do it my way, I got to hire my guy.
Yeah. I think there's a reason that Crane hired Dusty before he hired Click. Because if Click was overseeing the manager process, there's no chance he's hiring Dusty.
He would
Baker.
Hire an analytical guy. And if nothing else, if you follow the Caserio role, a guy that knows who's boss.
No way. He would have hired Dusty Baker. 9964, what a great problem. Best record in the AL, and we complain about why the lineups are always wrong. Or is it right? Because we are the best record in the AL. Look, he's got a point. Dusty Baker led the American League All-Star team to a win over the National League. It had nothing to do with the players. It had everything to do with the managerial prowess of one Dusty Baker.
What happens in a world where Brantley comes back? Does Mancini just, like, never find his way onto the field?
That world exists.
I don't think it does either.
I think at the end of the day, I think Trey Mancini is going to start at first base against righties and Yuli's going to start at first base against lefties. It is taking a long time for Dusty Baker to move that way, and it's probably going to take another Yuli Gurriel slump, and I think we're probably seeing the early signs of another Yuli Gurriel slump.
You hope not, but the writing's on the wall in a lot of ways, and I don't know what happened. You know, Dre believes that getting him in the two-hole was the answer to his problems.
It was for a bit, and then he was hot before then, too. Let's be clear.
It rejuvenated him to a point, but at a certain point, you know who you are and what you're dealing with. And at a guy at his age that's been scuffling this year, he doesn't belong in the top four or five positions in your batting order. The best, safest, and also productive way to put him in the lineup is to put him at the bottom of the lineup.
I love people, too, that are just like, oh, you never talk bad about the lineup or the batting order. Do you like talking sports? Like,
seriously.
That's great conversation. That is an awesome conversation. It's why you like baseball, right? You like talking about the guys that belong in the lineup.
They would like you to hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
Yeah, what do you want to do? You want to, like,
drink
orange
Kool-Aid and praise Dusty Baker for every move he makes, even if you know to your core it's not the right move.
People,
you're right.
People are DMing me on Twitter. Another day, no Mancini. This is what we have to live with. Can you imagine the frustration of James Click? Seriously. James Click went out and orchestrated the trade for the dude that we wanted. The Killer Bees wanted, but rightfully so.
You started the movement. I was on board 100%. I put him to the top of my list, even when you didn't, and said that this was the first guy they should go get. They went and got him to solve multiple problems with versatility, the big V. They went to the big V, the versatility card, and now they're not being versatile.
Look, James Click and I are on a first-name basis. He DMs me a lot of times asking my advice for certain things. Granato made that very clear. I'm going to send some gentle bends over to the Astros front office for James Click and just, you know, put on the card. This is from your good friend, Jeremy. You know me from the Killer Bees.
If you want to repay me in some way.
I only want you to drink this after you see Dusty's lineups because I know you need a little something.
Oh.
I know you need a little something.
I was going to say, I'm giving you something. Now give me a little something to keep my sanity. Stop Dusty from making dumb moves with the lineup.
Yeah. Do behind
my friend Martin, who texted in, wants you to believe that just because the team has allowed you to completely look past all the crazy moves Dusty makes, you should be commending the team all day. But it doesn't preclude you from having a discussion about the missteps of your manager that's old school and whether you're analytical or not, what the right moves are, especially when a guy's hot.
You know what would have made a difference? If Cal would have sent a cheeseburger over to Dusty Baker today when he was filling out the lineup, I think that would have made the world a difference.
Depends on how the boiler room's feeling after with the COVID.
Cool Cat Cal. He's an influencer, man. 713-780-ESPN. Dusty's lineup. Another Trey Mancini. This will be four times that Trey Mancini has not been in the starting lineup and four times that he has in the eight games that the Astros have played since they've brought in Trey Mancini officially. Is that okay? 713-780-3776. We'll kick it around with the Will Houseman as well. Also, would you welcome back J.J. Watt as a free agent next offseason? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you again about my good friend Doc Linville. He is phenomenal. He's a fantastic plastic surgeon, but the one thing that he does that has caught the attention of so many listeners to ESPN 97.5 is the NeoGraft procedure. The NeoGraft procedure is a game changer. It puts hair where you don't have hair on your head currently because of the fact that it uses your own hair and it's not trying to cover up the problem. It's basically the process you want to get involved with because the hair that they move, where they put it where you need it, it's going to stay. It's going to grow. So much so that it's a 95%+ success rate for every follicle that they move from areas where you have a ton of hair. Like genetically, you always will have hair on the sides and in the back of your head. And they move it to where you need it most. And that could be up on top and back, or that could be in front to get your hairline back to where it used to be. I'm telling you right now from personal experience, it is the way to go. If you go neo-grafting, you are going to never regret it, and you are going to see immediate results. You'll see the ultimate results in 6 to 9 months. But for ESPN listeners, the other thing that's very important is you get a consultation with Doc Linville's office that normally costs $150 for absolutely free because he wants to take care of our listeners. Go to 975hair.com, sign up for that free appointment. Then go in there and ask all the questions you want answers to and find out if the process is right for you. No one's going to twist your arm and tell you you got to do it. No one's going to take money out of your pocket to say it costs you just to meet with them. But you know what? It could be a game changer in terms of what the value is when you find out what the NeoGraft procedure can do. 975hair.com. Meet with my good friend Doc Linville and see if the procedure is right for you too.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You know what that music means? It means that the Astros ace, the ace of spades, is on the mound tonight for the Houston Astros. Robert Manfred will be in attendance to watch Justin Verlander pitch. Trey Mancini will be in attendance to watch Justin Verlander pitch. He'll be watching it with his hiney firmly on the Houston Astro dugout because play that man is it's a theme that sounds like it's going to continue because Dusty Baker doesn't want to play that man. He's filling out the lineup cards from afar. He's remote filling out the lineups for the Houston Astros. Are you okay with the way the Astros have deployed Trey Mancini and Christian Vasquez? Cody Stutz of the Wheelhouse joining us.
I was wondering if you're going to introduce
him. Yeah, my bad. I got sidetracked.
Mancini's going to sit on top of the dugout? They're not even letting him sitting in the dugout?
He's going to sit on the bench.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Stutzer. You said on top, or you said on the dugout. I was like, oh, okay.
I said on the dugout bench, I think.
All right,
check
Cody.
The tape.
Answer
check
the question.
The tape. did Cal drug your cheeseburger out at NRG today?
Yeah. Was,
did you have one?
It was McNair versus McDonald's out there.
Did you have one?
No, I didn't have one.
Oh, it's too bad. I love Cal McNair. I want to hang out with him so badly.
Yeah. So weird.
Yeah, why? He's awesome. Makes burgers for the fans.
He's
golf.
Awesome
plays
as
video
a best
games.
Friend. Just ask Jack Easterby. Other than that, awesome as an owner? I don't know.
I would love to be Cal's best friend.
I like Cal because he's not afraid to write the check and make something go away. I know that there everybody wants one certain thing to go away, but at least that's been minimized. But Cal's not afraid to write a check. Just go ask Chargers and Bengals fans over the years about the inability of their owners to write a check.
Exactly. He spends money. He's a great guy. I would love to be his BFF. I wish he was my uncle. Anyways, are you do you like the way that the Astros?
No.
Are you okay with the way the Astros are deploying Trey Mancini and Christian Vasquez?
Yuli Gurriel's hitting under 200 for the month of August. Get him out of there. Put Mancini at first base. It's hitting hard. It's not difficult.
Well, it's Dusty.
Yeah, I understand it's Dusty. Like, Yuli Gurriel should not be the everyday first baseman. He should be employed when Trey Mancini needs a rest. All Trey Mancini does is beat cancer and hit bombs and he can't get in the lineup.
It makes absolutely no sense. Every day should be trade day. Hashtag play the man. People thought I was kidding when I first put it out there. It becomes more realistically serious on a daily basis when you see this kind of stuff happen.
It's baffling to me that not only has Yuli's time in August been bad, but he's continued to hit in the two spot. It just very much disrupts what they're capable of from a lineup standpoint. It's very annoying. And look, maybe you can make the argument that the lack of a move in the lineup cost them a World Series last year. You can't have some of these issues popping up. And certainly, you need to get some of these guys going. And you get some guys in a rhythm, too. And, hey, you know how you get better at, I don't know, some of the defensive questions you may have about Trey Mancini? You let him play defense.
Yeah. You know how you score more runs? You get a better bat in there. Like, it's not some scientific thing. And one of the myths that kind of bothers me a little bit with Yuli, look, I hope Yuli Gurriel hits 400 the rest of the year. I don't dislike Yuli. I'm just
at this point,
realist.
I'm out. I want Mancini there. So I hope he doesn't turn it around.
That's fine.
I don't want him in there.
Okay. I'm willing to live with that, too. Now, the myth that I think exists, though, with Yuli is that moving him to the two spot, like, fixed Yuli Gurriel. Yuli Gurriel's, like, stint in the two spot came after, like, games 25 through 30 of him actually turning it around a little bit. It wasn't the two-hole they got Yuli right. It wasn't some Dusty Baker sprinkling magic and fixing Yuli. He was hot before he ever moved into the two spot.
How come we haven't used Dusty Dust as a
Dusty something? Dust. Good call. Dusty Dust. I like that.
Yeah, the Dusty Dust is worn off of Yuli Gurriel, okay? There's nothing left, all right? I appreciate everything Yuli's done for this franchise. He needs to occupy a spot on the bench that's not in front of the bubble gum.
And not on the dugout.
And not on the dugout.
See, you know, though, that there is a portion of the fan base that wants to have that thanks for the memories tour that means that you don't sit him and you can't do certain things because of what they've done for you not so lately.
Well, I mean, this organization got into a bad spot taking care of guys for stuff they had done and not stuff they were capable
Absolutely.
Of doing. And you look at Jeff Bagwell's contract. That was one of the big things. He got paid for stuff he had done, not stuff he was going to be capable mm-hmm. of doing, and put this franchise in a bad spot, all those years ago. And that's not how you operate a business and how you operate a baseball team. If the best salesman used to be the best salesman, you don't treat him like the best salesman.
Go to TriStar and get his autograph. Don't rely on him to be in a prominent spot in your lineup to try to win a World Series. You mentioned you didn't like Yuli in the two-hole. Who would you go with in the two-hole?
See, this is where the roster construction actually, you can have some fun with the conversation.
Yeah, I think so.
Tucker in the two spot is interesting if only you're putting Mancini right behind Bregman and Yordan, because I do believe you want those three power bats back to back to back right there in the middle. And obviously Tucker is not going to be in the middle of the lineup if he's in the two spot. But if you want to put Mancini there in the two spot as well, then you keep Tucker at five. You still got the three power bats in a row. So I'd go Tucker or Mancini. And really, I'd probably go Tucker in the two spot.
I would just stack the deck and go Yordan second, because he's not being pitched to, and he's not being pitched to in RBI situations anyways.
I don't hate this.
So take advantage of the spot that he's going to be up with less than two outs. No spot in the batting order bats more with two outs and nobody on than the three spot. Aaron Judge is batting second, and I haven't, look at the year he's having. He's doing pretty darn good, and he's also driving in runs from the two spot. I would just stack the deck. I'd probably go Altuve, Yordan. They probably don't want the back-to-back lefties, because we know Dusty likes Lana Feng Shui. So instead of going Tucker in the three-hole, go either Mancini or Bregman. I don't really care. Tucker in the four spot, and then whoever you didn't use between Mancini and Bregman in the three spot. That's what I go with.
You okay with that?
And then stick Diaz in there.
See, that's the thing.
Somewhere.
Look, that's the other thing that chaps my ass, too. It's one thing to nitpick, and rightfully so, Mancini not being in the lineup. The other thing that drives me absolutely bonkers is, at least this time, they don't have a day off coming up tomorrow, too, where you take a hot guy and say, you are on fire, sit down. And by the way, and most times when he does that, he also sits you down the game before you have a day off, so you get 2 days to sit down.
Right.
And have a good substantial chance to cool off while you're red hot. Like, the guy hit a grand slam for you last night, took a being in the clenches of a loss, and helped get you a win. And for that, you get rewarded, sir, by sitting down.
Also, this is Ledmus Diaz. This is not going to be who he is at all times.
True.
This is not who he's going to be for the rest of the season. Put him in the lineup while he's this guy. Like, get as much out of Ledmus Diaz, who even said after the game last night, I don't expect to play every day. I don't want to play every day. I'm not supposed to play every day. Like, get this guy in there as much as you can and get the best out of him. while you can, because he's not going to be this guy towards the end of the year.
Go to the well until the well runs dry.
Exactly.
Go to the Diaz until the AWA runs dry. I was looking at some CBS free agents for next year in the NFL, Stutes.
Oh.
2023 free agents. I think the Texans, and stop me if this isn't fair to say, I think the Texans are going to be pretty active in free agency in 2023.
General manager's already said they expect to be active in free agency next year.
Tons of money. Yep. You got some. Your talent's going to get better. Either it's the rookies that are in their second year, Davis Mills in his third, we'll see what he does. And then you have two first-rounders, pretty good draft class next year as well. I think they're going to be pretty active in free agency. I stumbled on one of the top free agents available next year as J.J. Watt, whose
Justin
contract is up.
James Watt.
Yeah, what would J.J. do? What would Justin James Watt do? Would you be intrigued of a reunion of sorts between J.J. Watt and the Texans? Look, the money has to be right. I get it. I don't want him to be my starter. I want him to be coming in third down, pass rushing situations only. Would you be okay with a Houston Texans J.J. Watt reunion?
Oh, absolutely. Who's not okay with this?
Blankers over there.
Why are you not okay with this? Well,
because, one, I don't think it's going to happen realistically for him chasing a championship, a Super Bowl appearance, and a ring. And for two, I don't know what price tag it's going to be. And I don't think he's going to be in agreement on a $5 million a year deal. And I also don't think it's the right situation from a Texan standpoint if you're starting to develop and groom and draft and get all this young talent, where you suddenly are going to take some reps and time away from them to get J.J. back in here. I think there might be a time down the road where that might happen so he can retire a Texan or he can do something. But I don't believe he's in the reality is, in his own mind, I don't believe he believes he's in his farewell tour. And he's trying to play with a winning team and make a difference. He just can't stay healthy either.
If he's open to it, I'm saying yes. I understand your argument that he's probably not looking to play for a team like the Texans, regardless of the emotional connection to them. I think he probably leans a little bit more towards like the Von Miller situation. Not the money, but just the guy chasing the opportunity to wherever he can go after that playoff success. But if he's open to it, I'll even spend a little bit more than you're comfortable spending to have 99 back there. Like, I mean, that'd be so exciting.
I don't see it much different than like the Jerry Hughes signing. Like,
then you could do hashtag play the man.
Play the man with JJ. Exactly. Third down situations. To me, it makes some sense. Now, the Texans probably have to over-exceed expectations here to get JJ Watt interested in a reunion. Yeah. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
Yeah, lots of fun stuff on the Astros, and I'm sure we'll complain about the lineup, much like every Astros fan.
No Trey Mancini.
Complaining about the lineup. Yeah, lots of that. And then BK has some statistical achievements that we'll go through and see if the Astros can get to some of these and maybe turn out to be the best regular season
can
Astros
you tell
team
Jake
ever?
The power lifter, he has to hold the microphone for the entire 4-hour show.
This thing's heavy, man. I think I got a workout in. My biceps are gonna look good.
You're not even isometrically holding it. You gotta support it.
The guy goes to the
isometric
gym.
What in the world? Well,
let him teach you.
Man,
he doesn't know anything.
I threw out my bag just thinking about working out. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.